Hallelujah just means praise the Lord. And so we ought to hear hallelujah every once in a while. Praise the Lord. He is certainly worthy of it. And I had in my mind's eye as they were singing that day in heaven when every voice will be raised in praise to our God. And every knee is going to bow, every tongue will confess that He is Lord. And so we might as well get busy doing that just right now. And we know who He is, and He's revealed Himself to us. So praise the Lord for it. Thank you so much, Ness and Perry's. I love to hear family sing together. They always seem to have a great harmony, something special about that family harmony. And great to have the Ness here with us for a few days. They're going to be singing again this evening for our Sunday evening service. And then we'll have another special song tonight as well. We're going to kind of jam-pack tonight's church service, including Lord's Supper. We'll mention that again here in just a little while. But we have a great church service tonight as well. Brother Al Taylor, been preaching the gospel for many, many years now. I'd have to go 35, 40, maybe 40 somewhere in that range, 40-year range or so. And I've seen him preach everywhere. Meetings, jail, rescue mission, church, funeral, wedding, you name it, he's preached it. And I was a pastor for about 3 years in a town called Seguin, Texas, about 50 miles outside of San Antonio, which is where my parents base. And of course, you know where San Antonio is. It's in the great state. Matter of fact, the Bushes just came back. And don't they look just revived this morning? There's sort of a glow to them. Just a few days in God's country has obviously done good for them. Anyway, that's kind of a joke, kind of. But glad to have my parents passing through again. They're celebrating 46 years of a wedded bliss. And so thankful to have them with us. My dad's going to come and preach. And then after that, we'll close the service this morning. And let's listen to what the Lord has for us today. God bless you for being here.
All right. Well, thank you for having me here. And I'm glad to be here. In Sunday school, it was interesting. My wife spoke more in public than she has in a while. Normally, when we talk about things like we talk about marriage and love and stuff, I'm the one that tears up. She even teared up this morning. Wow, I mean, you know, but anyway, yeah, it was good. And those that were there, I hope we helped you some, and I believe it would. But anyway, thank you so much for letting us be here. Leviticus 26. If you have your Bibles, Leviticus 26. And by the way, I have my water here. If I drink water, what you should say is amen.
Amen.
If I drink two drinks, it's praise the Lord. Another time, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I don't hear nothing. Let's try that again. First time.
Amen.
Second time.
Praise the Lord.
Third time.
Hallelujah.
All right. There we go. So I get dry sometimes, and that will help you keep involved in the service. All right, so Leviticus 26, as the book of Leviticus, it's being closed out. As the book of sacrifices and ceremonies is being completed, as the book of feasts is being completed, we're offered a view in the very character of God. And I hope you'll listen. It shows the very character, the very personality of God, the consciousness of God, the composition, if we will, of God Himself. Leviticus 26:3 says, if. Now, you know there's a lot of if-then statements in the world. There's a lot of if-then statements in the Bible as well. This is one of them. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then, there's the then, I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Down to verse 11. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Very good verses, interesting verses. We're going to look at that passage this morning. I hope you'll listen. It'll help you if you will. Let's pray and then we'll look at it. Father, I ask that you bless what's going to be said. Lord, I need you to work through me this morning. I ask that you would. We need your power, need your unction. Lord, we need your clarity of mind. I ask that you'd give that. And then for the folks that are here, Lord, I pray their hearts will be open, their minds will be open. Provide for them in their hearts and their minds what you've given me in the study. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So God makes some promises to Israel. Oh, I know what they're doing. They're saying, turn the microphone. In fact, they're waving light at me. All right. I'm messing with the past. All right. Can you hear me now? All right. So anyway, so God makes these promises to Israel, and if they will walk in God's statutes and keep his commandments and do them, then God makes some guarantees to them, several areas, occurrences, rain in due season, the void drought, the land shall bring forth an increase, the trees will be fruitful, and maybe most importantly, and I like this when it says, God will walk among them and will be their God. God will walk among them. Now, God dwelt in with the Israelites in the Old Testament in a special manifestation, if you will. We sometimes refer to this God's presence in the Old Testament as the Shekinah glory cloud. The Shekinah glory, it rose up from the tabernacle in the wilderness, that Shekinah glory cloud rising up into the sky, rising up into the atmosphere, rising for all to see God's presence among them. And God promised his presence. He promised his attendance. He promised his participation with them. But the chapter doesn't end before showing another side, another view, another perspective, if you will. Verse 27 says this, and if ye will not. First off, he said, if you will. Now he says, if you will not, for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. Down to, let's see, verse 21. We'll look at a few of these verses that have contrary in it. And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. Verse 24, then will I walk contrary unto you. You get the idea. God says, if you walk with me, I'll walk with you. If you walk against me, contrary to me, then I walk against you. I mean, very simple, this thing of contrary, very simple idea. Contrary means to oppose or to be contrary, to have a negative encounter. And he told them also, one of the words he used in there was to hearken, hearken unto me, to hear and respond with the motive of obeying. And he said, if you will not hearken, if you won't respond, if you won't hear, if you won't have this motive of obeying, then there's this promise of being against them. So first off, there's this positive promise of connection, this positive promise of coherence, this positive promise of discord. But there's also on the other side this negative promise of division, a negative promise of disunion, and a negative a promise of discord. Now, I do understand that this is talking in the Old Testament. This is talking to Israel. We do not take Israel's promises as our own. God gave them to Israel, to his people, the Israelites, the Jewish folks. That's like spiritual robbery for us to take their promises and apply it to ourselves. So we can't take the promises. But what I want you to see in this is you can see God's character. God's character, God never changes. He's the same. He's always the same. So if he's always the same, how he dealt with them is similar to how he'd deal with us. And if we will walk with him, if we will put him first and do our deeds for him, then he'll walk with us. And if we walk against him, then unfortunately, he'll probably walk against us. We don't want that, but that's what happens. Because that's God's character. And again, I realize that's Old Testament, but it shows his character. And in fact, God throughout the Bible, He has this idea, and this is what I want to preach on this morning. If I had a title for the message, it would be this: the fellowship of God. God wants to fellowship with us. He wants to have a union with us. And He had a union with the Israelites. If they walked with Him, He had this union with them. He had this fellowship with them. If they walked against them, then they did not have that fellowship. But God longs to have fellowship with His people. He longs to have a personal connection to each one of us. He wants to have a personal relationship, a personal interaction with all people, including you. He wants to fellowship with each one of us. In fact, He wants to fellowship with us more than we want to fellowship with Him. He desires to have our eyes and our prayers and our mind on Him, and then He wants to fellowship with us, and He wants that. His desire for that far supersedes our desire to fellowship with Him. Even from the days of creation. Follow me for a minute. In Genesis 1:26, it says, "And God said," in Sunday school, in my Sunday school class back in San Antonio, we've been, for over a year, we've been dealing with animal kingdom, looking at different animals. And in the first chapter in Genesis 1, you'll see oftentimes when God made the animals, when He made the plants and things, they would procreate after their kind. After their kind. You see that phrase over and over again. After their kind, or after His kind. All these different animals and all these different plants. When it came to mankind, God did something different. And we point out just about every day, every Sunday when we teach in our class, mankind and animals, we differ. And Genesis 1:26 tells us why. "And God said, let us make man in our image." In our image. Now, He made all the plants and all the animals after their image. When He made us, He made us after His. He made us after His. And part of that likeness is the desire to have fellowship. The desire to have companionship. The desire to have communion with one another. God designed us that way because we're after His image. If you look through the Bible, you can see this oftentimes. Genesis 5:22 says that Enoch walked with God. In verse 24, it says it over again, in case you missed it the first time, and Enoch walked with God. In Genesis 6:9, it says this about Noah. Noah walked with God. So they walked with God. They communed with God. In Hebrews 11, when Hebrews is looking back at the heroes of the faith, and they look at Enoch and they look at Noah, they use that same phrase, but it sounds a little different in the New Testament than it does in the Old. Now, in the Old Testament, it says they walked with God. In the New Testament, it says that they pleased Him. They pleased Him. And that phrase in the New Testament that says they pleased God is the same phrase from the Old Testament where they walked with God because they were together. In fact, it says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And we want to please Him. We want to walk with Him. God wants to walk with us, and He wants us to walk with Him. Again, they're the same phrase in New Testament, Old Testament. They sound a little different, but they're the same. They please God by walking with Him. Moses, he spent a total of 80 days up in the mountain, 40 days twice. And obviously developed a great kinship and a warm association, a close attachment to God. Exodus 33:11 says this, "And the Lord spake unto Moses," watch this now, "face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." So God had this warm relationship with Moses. He had a warm relationship with David. David's called the sweet psalmist of Israel. He's also called a man after God's own heart. And so these had these close relationships. God wants to have that relationship with us. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to have that union with us. 1 John 1:3 says this, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us." He said we're going to have this union with us, and truly our fellowship, our union, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, that word fellowship is an interesting word. I mentioned this to Timothy yesterday when we were talking. The word fellowship and the word communion in the Bible oftentimes is the same word in the background. Where did it come from? That's koinonia. In fact, he's talking about the Lord's Supper tonight. In 1 Corinthians 10:16, it gives one of the titles of the Lord's Supper. It says the cup of blessing. That's what he's talking about, the Lord's Supper. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The communion, the union, the unity, the fellowship we have with one another. And that fellowship is not just with one another, it's with Him. And God desires to have that fellowship. What a truth, what a reality, what a certainty that God wants to have fellowship with you and He wants to have fellowship with me. I mean, God. Now, I'd like to have fellowship with my wife. I love her. She loves me. And we love each other more than anybody else in the world. So we love having fellowship. That makes sense because it's, you know, a man and a woman, you know. But God? I mean, Jehovah God wanting to have fellowship with mankind? I mean, us? Yes, that's what He wants. He wants to have fellowship with us. What a truth. He told them in the Old Testament, if you walk with me, I'll walk with you. He said He would walk among them. God wants to have fellowship with us, walk among them. So that's the introduction. Let me give you a couple ideas about that. First off, He wants to have fellowship with us in salvation. The most well-known verse, I guess, in the entire Bible sums up this point better than anywhere else I could think of. John 3:16. For God, the greatest gift, so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave the greatest gift, that unspeakable gift. 2 Corinthians says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, not have to go to hell, but have everlasting life. God did all this. Why did He do all that? So that we could have fellowship. He gave Jesus. He gave His Son to die on the cross to break that chasm between Him and us and bridge it so that we could become back to Him and have fellowship with the Father through the Son. That's what that's all about. Now, that's what happens when we get saved. When we get saved, He bridges that gap and brings us together with Him. The songwriter said it this way: when man sinned in the garden, that sin Jehovah could not condone, the blood shed of animals could not forever in sin atone, but the Son had compassion. He said, Father, I'll be your lamb. So once again, blood was shed as the soldiers nailed His hands. God the Father watched that. And He did that all for us. Been 3 days since heaven, watched the Prince of Glory die. His followers are in mourning. For in the tomb, their Savior lies. But at the grave, something's happened. As death screams, I've lost my hold. Angels rise. Psalm 24 talks about this. Angels rise in anticipation, for the Son is coming home. And there He comes. And He's got the blood that He shed on Calvary. And the Father says, well done, my Son. This is the last blood I'll ever need. What a truth. What a song. Yeah, there ought to be some amens and some praise lords and some hallelujahs and that type of stuff. If you're saved and you know Jesus as your Savior, He did that for you. He did that for me so we could have fellowship. All this was done. All this was completed. All was finished for our benefit, for our good, for our well-being, so we could have fellowship with God. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Did you notice the word that came up over and over and over and over again? Reconcile, reconciliation. That's what we're talking about, fellowship. We're talking about reconcile, bringing two folks together, two different entities together. That's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. He died on the cross so that we could be brought together with God. And if you've never been saved, you need to ask Jesus to save you today. If you have, you ought to thank God. Interesting, the idea of being reconciled. Dr. Barnes has this to say. I hope you listen to this because this is important. He is to be reconciled to God. He is to give up his opposition. So the man that's going to be reconciled to God, the woman that's going to be reconciled to God, he is to give up his opposition. He is to submit to the terms of mercy. All the change in the case is to be in him. Now, my wife and I, we're married. You know, we've made different concessions one to another throughout the years. If you've been married more than a couple of years, you understand that. That happens. But with our relationship with God, now he wants to have a relationship with us. And there may have to be some concessions done. All the concessions will be out. Because he's still the same. So he says, all the change in the case is to be in him, for God cannot change. God has removed all the obstacles to reconciliation which existed on his part, so he did everything he needed to do. And if we're to come to Jesus, we have to come to him altogether based upon Jesus dying on the cross for us. The doctrine of repentance has kind of been downplayed, it seems like, the last number of years. But repentance is important. When a person gets saved, they don't come from another type of whatever they were believing in. They don't take that with them, maybe their works or the baptism or whatever, all the list of things. They don't take that and then add Jesus on top. Repentance is all that stuff's taken away, and Jesus is put ultimately in the place by himself. That's how we're saved, in Jesus alone. Nothing else. So, but when we do that, then we have fellowship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, fellowship with God, first off, salvation. And if you've never been saved, I hope you'll get saved today. You should. Second off, sanctuary. Give you all S, salvation, sanctuary. But God wants to fellowship with us. God never moves. He never changes. He never veers away from who he is. Therefore, if we're going to have fellowship with him, we just need to find out where he is. We need to find out where he is and go meet with him. I know where that is. At least I know. Matthew 18:20, Jesus said it this way, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Huh. Imagine that. So if we want to fellowship with Jesus, and we ought to, the sanctuary is the place we do it. I mean, that's where he is. He said, if two or three are gathered together, I'll be there. He's here today. And so we fellowship together by coming to church. By the way, he didn't pay me to do this, but to say this. Didn't even tell me to say this. I thought to myself, I'm going to do his dirty work for him. Get people to come to church. Many families will have family gatherings and family reunions. People will travel for miles and miles from state to state. The past Father's Day, my entire family assembled. They came from California, from Virginia, from Oklahoma, far west Texas. All the children, all their mates, all the grandbabies. I mean, everybody was there. I got a picture to prove. What a reunion. What a time we had. What a sacrifice for many to make that trip for a family reunion. I'm telling you, in church, we have a family reunion every time we come. In fact, there's some people that I'm related to by Jesus Christ in the church I go to down in San Antonio. I'm closer to them than some of my, you know, human blood family here on the earth. I'm closer to them than I am some of my blood family. Because we're family. And so we have a family reunion. Every time we get together, we have a great big time. And we have fellowship with one another, but again, that fellowship is not just with each other, it's with Him. If you want to have fellowship with God, come to church. Come to church every time the door is open. In the New Testament church, the book of Acts, as it opens up, there's one thing that comes up over and over again. It's pretty obvious. It happens throughout the entire book of Acts, particularly in the first three chapters, Acts 2:46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. It says they continued daily, one accord, in the temple, breaking bread house to house, singleness of heart. I mean, they were together. The word one accord, it's interesting, the word one accord, if you look up that phrase, one accord in the book of Acts, it's used 13 times. If you look up in the New Testament, it's 13 times. In the book of Acts, there's 11 of them. 11 out of the 13 times that phrase is used, it's in the book of Acts. Now, it's not always talking about the church, but it often is. And so it's talking about this being in one accord. Now, the phrase one accord means being in one place and in one mind. In one place, in one mind. You look the word up, that's exactly what you see it is. One physical place with the same thoughts in their mind. That's what we do at church. We get together, we fellowship, and we're in one. We're in one. We're in unity with each other. I thought about this. I was trying to think of ways to illustrate this, to make it applicable. Let me ask you this. How faithful are you to church? How faithful are you to fellowship with God at church? Because He's here. Every time doors open, He's here. If you had an alarm clock and it worked really well for 4 days, I mean really good, Monday through Thursday it worked well, but Friday it just never quite worked. So 4 to 5 days. 4 to 5 days you got this alarm clock, works great, works famously. I mean it works very well for 4 of those days, but the 5th day it always messes up. How long do you keep that alarm clock? Not very long, right? Because it's not very faithful. I mean, it's good for 80% of the time. What about the other 20%? Or how about this one? A husband and wife, you know, they're married, and so they live in the same house. And let's say that the husband stays in the house at night with his wife in bed for 5 out of 7 days. Now, 2 of those days, he's out and about. God only knows where he is. But he said he's out and about. Think that's the faithful husband? Oh, but one thing he does, one of those 2 days he's out, he FaceTimes with his wife. He FaceTimes with his wife, so I mean, he's not really there, but he FaceTimes. You know, like churches that, you know, people sit in their bath clothes or their pajamas and they watch the church service on the TV. Well, that's nice. But that doesn't replace the relationship or the fellowship that you're supposed to have with one another in Jesus Christ. And now there are times we go out of town and we can't find a church to go to. It's nice that we can watch church services on the screen. I understand there are niceties about them. But it doesn't replace being together. And you ought to be here. Church service tonight, what, 6:30? 6:30. Oh, boy, it's a good thing he's got a top on it, huh? All right. So, 6:30. Does that mean everybody, you want a fellowship with Jesus, right? You want to have fellowship with Him? You want to walk with Him so He can walk with you? I mean, that's what He said in Leviticus, right? You walk with me, I'll walk with you. You don't want to be contrary, do you? You don't want to walk contrary to Him. Because if you walk contrary to Him, He's going to walk contrary to you. You don't want that, right? Reckon how many people be back tonight. I mean, that's where we fellowship with Jesus. He said, 2 or 3 together, I'll be there. Titus 1:2 says He can't lie. He'll be here. I wonder how about you. So fellowship with God, first off in salvation, you ought to get saved. If you're not, if you are saved, you ought to thank God for it. Number two, sanctuary, you ought to be a church. God put together the church. Paul spent most of his life, his Christian life, most of his life, setting up churches. And oftentimes he'd go back and visit those churches and then give reports when he went out to see the churches. Churches are important. Half the New Testament is written to churches. Either the churches or the pastors of those churches. Churches are important to God, and He's here when we meet. You want to have fellowship with God? Here's the place. All right, so salvation, sanctuary. How about this one? Service. Service. There are several statements in the Bible in regards to fellowship, if you will, and service. Romans 16:9, Paul says this, salute Urbane, and then he puts this little attachment to that, our helper in Christ. Our helper in Christ. Romans 16:21. There's a fellow in that Bible verse. For some reason or other, that name just stuck out to me. Romans 16:21, Timotheus. Timotheus, my work fellow. How about this? Romans 16:3-4. Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. 2 Corinthians 8:21, whether do any inquire Titus, he is my partner and my fellow helper concerning you. How did they have that fellowship together? They worked together. They had service together. They served together. They had a lifetime of service to Jesus, but with each other for their community. There's this link, there's an attachment, if you will, a joining together in the work of God and working and laboring and pulling together. Some time ago, there was a new Christian that was talking to me and asking me about what we did when we would do things together. I said, well, the best thing we do and the quickest way and the best way I know to really get together with other folks in church, come solo. And you go out and you be two of you, and you in between doors, you'll talk about it. You get to know each other. Go to the activities of the church, and when you have activities of the church, you'll talk to each other. You fellowship before, you fellowship after church services. That's where you learn about folks, and that's how you have this fellowship, this connection between you two. But then when you go out and do your service, you know how some of the folks that I'm closest in Christianity, how we got that way? I ran a children's church for, 20-25 years. And we had workers back there. And boy, there were several of the workers. All I had to do was look their way. And they knew exactly what needed to be done. And something was going on, I'd look their way, and they're up and doing it. Say, how do they have that connection? We worked together for a long time. They knew me. I knew them. We worked together. Well, we had this connection, this fellowship together. You want to have fellowship with your Christian brothers? You want to have fellowship with Christ? Serve. There's a lifetime of connections that are cemented together through the labor with Christ. To illustrate this, I'll talk about my father just for a minute. He was in World War II. He was in the Navy. He was stationed in the Pacific. He was on a boat that he called affectionately a large, slow party, an LST. Now, that was it carried a lot of things. It was a ship that carried things from one place to another. But he called it a large, full target because it was slow and it was big. But over the last decade or two of my father's life, they would have yearly reunions from that LST. And he'd go, he'd sometimes go different states to go to these reunions. Come to find out that the captain of that ship, the guy that was in charge of the ship, now my father was one of the lower enlisted guys. The captain of the ship, the guy on top, he lived about 5 or 6 miles from in Florida. And they had this close connection. In fact, in their 60th anniversary, when they had their 60th anniversary, at the church that they went to, and they had the big party, he came in honor of them. You say, but he was way up there and he was way down there. No, they had this connection because of the service. Well, similarly, oftentimes Christians, we run together as a team, and a team bonds together in their labors with the Lord. Y'all know Brother Bunnell? I know some of you do. Brother Bunnell, he goes to New Orleans. I don't want anybody to want to go to New Orleans. But he goes to New Orleans, and particularly Mardi Gras. Why would anybody do that? He goes there to pass out tracts, and they've got a group, and we've had a couple guys from our church to go every year. They have a special connection, because they go to Mardi Gras, and they pass out tracts, and they witness for the first few days of Mardi Gras. They've got this solid commitment to each other, this fellowship with each other, unlike anybody else. Because they're serving together. There's a fellow that lives up pretty close to us, close to Canyon Lake, Brother Andres. When we have our downtown in San Antonio, when Fiesta comes, we have a booth down in the area, and he opens up a booth, and we try to get people saved. And the folks that work together, we have this great connection together with all these folks. I'm telling you, you want to have fellowship with Jesus? Fellowship with one another in your service. That's right. Yesterday at 3 o'clock, as he mentioned in Sunday school, we came a little earlier than we first anticipated. We came a little earlier, and the reason we came a little earlier is so I could go out with him knocking doors in service. I don't know how many people were here this morning, but I know how many people were there yesterday. Oh, where's all the service? Now, you may go on another day because I know you have other visitation days. Maybe go on some of those days. And if you do, have a look. But you ought to serve somewhere. We all be thankful for the service they're doing back in that back room back there. Because children can be different. I mean, sometimes they do things that smell a little funny. They do things that hurt each other. They put gum in people's hair. They do a lot of stuff that we wouldn't approve of in a nice, peaceful, you know, fellowship together in the morning service. They say a lot of things. They do a lot of things. They run. They do a lot of things. I'm thankful for those people back there doing their service. They're doing a service back there. How about you? When you want to serve Jesus? Ask him. I'm sure if you ask your pastor, ask him, is there some place to say somewhere I can serve? I bet he might have some suggestions. The songwriter said it this way: I'm happy in the service of the King. I am happy, so happy. I have peace and joy that nothing else can bring in the service of the King. Through the sunshine and shadow, I can sing in the service of the King. To his guiding hand forever, I will cling in the service of the King. All that I possess to him, I gladly bring in the service of the King. In the service of the King, every talent I will bring. I have peace and joy and blessing in the service of the King. Service brings us together. Again, in 1 John, we read verse 3. Verse 1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship with God. God wants to have fellowship with us. As strange and as unusual as that sound in the Bible, God says He wants us to be reconciled unto Him. He wants to have fellowship with us. But He can't change. And we're going to have to go to Him on His terms. We'll have to go to on His terms in salvation. We'll have to go to His terms on sanctuary. We'll have to go on His terms in our thirst. And I hope these three areas will help you in your life. I've read this. One of the churches I kind of follow had this in their bulletin of sorts. We hope that you felt blessed today by the fellowship you received, and that you experience the love of God and the warmth of His saving grace. We extend the hand of friendship so that we can connect with you, for you are so valuable to the Lord and very precious in His sight. Fellowship with one another, and not just with one another, with Him. Fellowship with God. Those are three areas. Now, there's more areas, but those are three areas that brought to your attention today. I hope you'll take them. Heart. Salvation, again, if you're not saved, you ought to get it. If you are saved, realize God did that. He broke the bank of heaven so we could be saved, so He could have fellowship with us. And then sanctuary, where can we meet with God? Right here. He said He'd be here. Got to come to church and church. Taylor, if you'll come as we're closing out, I hope you'll take this to heart. It's very simple. Nothing new, nothing unusual. God said if we'd walk with Him, He'd walk with us. New Testament gives us the same promise. If we'll draw nigh unto Him, He'll draw nigh unto us. So, God wants to fellowship with us. In those three areas, I hope God spoke to your heart.
Whatever I closed. Well, that's the heart of God. That's God's character. That's God's personality. I wonder when was the last time that you truly had fellowship with Him? We can even show up to the place of fellowship and really not be tuned in like we ought to. We're there in body, but we're not really there in heart and mind. And so I wonder how our fellowship is with the Lord today, how close we are to Him. We know He wants to be to us. And I want to ask, maybe there is somebody here this morning who would say, "Preacher, I'm not sure that I've ever been reconciled to God, born again into His family, so that I could be in fellowship." That's the beginning. And say, "I'm concerned about that today. Preacher, would you pray for me?" Is there one like that? You just lift your hand up, put it right back down. I'll pray for you right now. "I don't know that I've been born again into God's family. Preacher, pray for me." Pray for me. Is there one? All right, I assume, don't see any hands concerning that, that everybody that's here professes to be born again, child of God. Are we faithful in all the different opportunities that God gives us to fellowship with Him? You'd say this morning, "I'm a believer, but God has spoken to my heart concerning fellowship with Him." Is there one like that this morning? Okay. Hands up all over. Amen. Well, let's pray together. We'll have a time of invitation. This is a time that you can come and talk to the Lord right here, right now. And also a time that you can make a decision for the Lord. Come to Him in salvation. If you've never been born again, you can come, be born again this morning. Make that decision today. You can follow Him in believer's baptism. That's the first commandment that He gives us as new children of God. Be baptized in deep water as a testimony of Him. And then maybe you've never joined this church, but the Lord has been working on your heart concerning that, and you want to join formally this fellowship. We would love for you to come and let us know about that. We'll talk to you about that this morning during the invitation time. Let's pray. Father, pray now that You will work during this invitation time, continue to speak to our hearts, and Lord, help us just to draw nigh to You. I'm so thankful for the promise that if we'll draw nigh to You, You'll draw nigh to us. And Lord, that's the way that we ultimately fight the devil, fight the world, fight our flesh. When we're close to You, we are so much better equipped to be able to fight in those areas that we need to fight. And so help us this morning to draw close to You. And Lord, I pray again, if there's somebody here that's not been born again, that You'll help them to realize their need and be willing to come this morning and repent, put their faith and trust in you and you alone. We love you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed? As the song plays, the invitation song, we just want to invite you to come, whatever the need might be this morning. Maybe you just need to talk to the Lord. We would invite you to come, kneel, bow down, pray. You can pray right where you are in your seat. Maybe there's a decision that God is talking to you about, concerning salvation or baptism or church membership, maybe even a rededication of a life to the Lord since you've been saved. We would invite you to come if you need to come this morning.
Nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding Son. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine.
Would you come if you need to come?
Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Amen. Would you be seated? And we're going to have announcements here in just a moment. It's already been mentioned. We're going to meet again at 6:30. And please, please come back again tonight. We're going to have a great service, a lot of different things that we'll be doing. Try to jam that into about an hour, maybe an hour, 10 minutes. But we're looking forward to being together in the house of the Lord again. So good to see each and every one here today. God bless you for your attendance. Brother Matt, come bring our announcements for us. And then we'll be...
All right. That was good. I have some quick announcements, really brief. We're having, of course, the Lord's Supper is tonight, April 2nd. I encourage